So tonight, hey, we're back. We're back. Wild, wacky stuff tonight on the show.
After these messages, I'm not a crook.
Hello. Do you remember me? I used to be president.
What were you expecting, Doris Day?
Oh, God, commercials, man. Oh, man.
Too many to name, so we'll try our best to name. Some wacky ones. I'm telling you, they keep fucking up the KFC, the Colonel one. Like, there was one with Daryl Hannon, and then they replaced it with, like, two other people within the same year. I'm like, who's the real spokesperson? Who's the real Colonel now?
Well, the thing I always loved was when they had the original Colonel on, and he was a grumpy old fuck.
Right? No sense of humor.
No sense of humor. No. I made this chicken myself. Okay. Stay away from it. hits a kid in the hand with his cane, you know. I mean, God, that guy was just such a yutz. But when they brought it back, it was John Goodman. If you remember that, John Goodman.
Vaguely. If I saw it, it was a minute.
It was, Jim Gaffigan did it for a while. I know they brought other actors in to make him up like the Colonel.
Who is your personal favorite?
My personal favorite was Gaffigan. I thought Gaffigan was hilarious. The one I would have loved to have seen would be Patton Oswalt.
Oh,
because he makes fun of the KFC bowl. I would have loved to have seen him just advertise that. You know,
that would have been great. And he's just one of the few comedians who just seems to know how to just channel everything wrong with society and make fun of it. And then self-acknowledging his own problems. And it's awesome. The self-aware geek. That's why we like him.
But yeah, I just remember them doing like that whole commercial where they had different people dressed up as the Colonel. And I was like,
even Billy Zane played him.
That
was something.
God. Yeah. Well, here's the funny thing though. When we talk about stars in commercials, it's either one of two things. Either they're on the way down, or they just want to get a name. They just want to get a name to advertise the product.
Or they do it because they're bored, like the Super Bowl ad with Betty White.
Yeah. Or they just do it because they're bored. Yeah. Like I remember as a kid growing up, who was it? Now this is going to sound weird, but back in the 80s and the 90s, they would always have an athlete do something for like advertising. Like I think they had Joe Montana do Tenactin.
Yes. Oh my God.
For Jokic,
who I associated with them for the longest time.
Yeah. Or
Tenactin.
Yeah. Or OJ doing Hertz Rent-A-Car. That's the one I've always been kind of like going to myself, what happened after that he did, you know? Because you'd be like, with Hertz, I can go anywhere in the country and get a car. And I'm like, yeah, OJ, get a car. Yeah. And then like, you know, what happens. And you're like, we're not going to be seeing those ads anymore, are we?
No.
You know? But I remember like Hertz Rent-A-Car, him doing Hertz Rent-A-Car, Nancy Walker doing Bounty.
Oh God, you're going way back there.
Oh yeah, I go that 70s route, you know. Vic Tayback doing Parquet commercials right before he hit it big with Alice. I remember just seeing a lot of commercials with a lot of famous people. Like they used to show this show and they'd be like, before they were famous, they were doing commercials. And there's one with, I think it's John Travolta doing Band-Aid. Like, I am stuck on Band-Aids because Band-Aids are stuck on me. And it's like, but it's Travolta's like, I'm stuck on Band-Aids because Band-Aids are stuck on me, you know. And Terry Garr is in one. I saw Terry Garr used to do commercials all the time. Farrah Fawcett doing commercials, you know.
Stacey Sybil Ferguson, Shepherd. Years before she was like Fergie, I think, was the voice of one, I think.
Yeah. But, who was Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas?
I think so. Back when she was doing stuff like Charlie Brown, she
Well, she was doing that in Kids Incorporated, so she could branch out a little bit.
Right.
The funny thing is, when Jem first hit big, you know, Jem and the Holograms, that doll. The girl who was in that ad went to school with me.
No.
Yeah, Heather Sullivan.
Damn.
I said one day we're in the dentist's office, right? And I'm about 11, 12 years old, right? And I'm like sitting there and I'm thumbing through a magazine. She comes walking in with her mother, I think her father, and my dad went to the same dentist as him. And I'm looking at her, I'm looking back, I'm looking at her, and I'm like, you know, my 12-year-old preteen, you know, adult pre-hormone drop voice goes, "Excuse me, you look really familiar to me." She goes, yeah. I'm like, I go, "Were you like in a commercial or something?" She goes, "Yeah, I was in the Jem commercial." And I remember the commercial. She was the one where the earrings, sparkled, you know, it's like you put the battery in the back and the battery, you know, the earrings would, you know, twinkle on and off.
And oh, that's great.
I was like, oh, okay. You know, I was like, well, you know, but yeah, I went to high school with her, you know? So that's my little claim to fame, so to speak. You know, hey, I know that person. You know what's weird too? You see some people, you know who McLean Stevenson is, right? Henry Blake from MASH.
Okay.
Henry Blake from MASH.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Yeah. The first four seasons of MASH, he's on it. He's Henry Blake. He was doing like, I think it was STP or some motor oil company or Shell or something like that. He was the guy doing the Shell commercials back then, back in the 70s and the 60s, you know? Yeah, it's weird. Like Robert Blake, I remember doing STP commercials.
Or shooting his wife.
Yeah. STP or GUN, which one do you take? He was doing STP ads. Robert Conrad did Ever Ready Batteries.
He had
I dare
locals.
You to knock the shoulder off my battery. I dare you to.
I dare you to. Years before Energizer Bunny and all that crap.
Yeah. It was always like, I just remember that. It's weird because like my father used to say, they were on the way up or the way down, like I said, but I always say nowadays when you see people hawk stuff, it's because they're given a lot of money.
Yeah, irrefusable like, amount. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, here, take this boatload of cash and advertise our product, like Shaquille O'Neal.
No. Now he's using, doing those general ads.
Yeah. You go get the general for car insurance, you know. And he's like a part owner of Papa John's now.
I would believe it. And
yeah,
it seems like everybody is just, that's where in between the small gigs, like you do it for one day and it's a worthwhile investment because you get paid nonstop throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah. I mean, like Michael, I can remember the first time I really saw somebody hit it big advertising wise was Michael Jordan.
Yeah. So because many ads I saw him in.
He had Nike sneakers. Nike sneakers, Gatorade, McDonald's. I forgot what else he was doing at that time. Oh, Hanes underwear.
Yes.
Right.
I think he did that the longest, but I could be wrong.
I remember him doing the Be Like Mike ad, and I was like, I can't be like Mike. I'm not 6'6" and can dunk a basketball.
Basketball god.
I'm five foot ten and I can't do crap. But commercials, people hawking stuff on commercials, you and I grew up in the age of the infomercial.
Yes, and PSAs and what have you, and
yeah. So, like the PSAs, like we always were like we. It's kind of weird because we had PSAs. We had like the Children's Aid Society, you know, which was this thing, you know, they help me with my homework when I'm down. They help me. I'm really glad they made the Children's Aid Society. And like, you know, I was like, this never happens in my school.
I wish they were that helpful.
I wish they were that helpful. Teachers didn't want to do shit for us, you know.
Right.
Shut up, you little shit. Let me teach the class. Shut up. You don't know algebra. You're going to fail and be a failure. Thank you, ma'am. You know.
But, you know, and you remember, I don't know if you've ever seen this. It's a DoorDash commercial with these little kids. They're teenagers. Like, you know, they're like middle school teenagers. Like,
don't know any better.
You've got the look that I want now. You know, and it's like, oh, working, playing. It's like, this would not fly today.
No.
You have to look this up. You would literally
way to laughing. Sexualize our kids, dude.
Yeah, it's like all these kids, you know, walking around in DoorDash jeans, you know, going, you know, shaking their, and you're like, this is very uncomfortable to watch.
Mm-hmm. You know. There was this thing on Netflix to get slightly on topic called Cuties, and it was instantly shunned, saying, who are these pedophiles who made this show?
Yeah. Back then, kids could sell a lot, you know?
We were already making sure to downgrade their health so they would die at age 30 or 50.
Yeah, you know. Kids need to know that, you know, the stuff we shill them, and we need to have famous people shilling it for them, you know. Like you know, we had
you have to die for your sake.
Yeah, you know. When you're talking about PSAs, there's one PSA I always loved that stuck with me for the longest time, and that is Yul Brynner.
This was on the downfall, or was this pre-fame?
This is after he died.
Ooh.
Okay. He was doing The King and I think he was doing it on Broadway, and he started to get this cough. And they go check him out, and he's got lung cancer. Right? Jeez. So there's this PSA after he died. He made sure it was done. He said, ladies and gentlemen, the late Yul Brynner. He says, hello. If there is one thing I would tell you, don't smoke. Please. For my sake, don't smoke. And it had, like, you know, the date he was born and the date he died at the end of it. And I was like, ooh, ow, you know. Oh, I didn't smoke after that, you know.
That's painful. Man. Damn.
Yeah, we had a lot of, oh, it was like, I mean, you're talking about like Billy Mays and all that stuff. I remember, like, there was guys before those, you know, the ShamWows and the MyPillow.
Oh, yeah. Max Offer was it, I think. He did like a bunch of cult movies, but he was always known as the ShamWow guy. And
yeah.
Growing up in 2004, I was sick to death of those because Billy Mays, rest in peace, he was just kick ass. He just made you feel good. And for the longest time, I got mixed up with the Tool Time guy from Home Improvement. And how ironic he's doing ads still as a handyman.
How did he die?
So Billy Mays passed away from like a drug overdose or something. And that was one of those. There's like, we saw some pretty tasteless jokes, but I was one of those. Is like that dude lived pretty happily. I never heard anything messed up about him. Like, it was impossible to film his commercials, nothing. And it's like, he just had a lot of cocaine or some shit. And he did not survive that last overdose.
I'd be doing coke too if I was in his shoes. Then I'd be like, okay, let's film that hat. You know,
let's film it. That's why I got all this energy. Endless. Oh.
And he was just too awesome. And just seeing him.
He died on a plane.
Was it his private jet or was it a public airline?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
I didn't know he died of an overdose. I just heard he died on a plane. That was it.
Oh my God.
You know.
He's trying to outdo Elvis here.
But the other guy who took over for him was like, you know, it was like he was on like, you know, 15 cups of coffee.
Yeah. Like, you know, that wasn't enough to notice him. I'm like, I get it. I'm here for my coffee.
Come on, my eyes are going to pop out of my skull. You know.
Yeah.
But I'll go back a little bit more. Do you remember that thing with the Space Age Pan?
Space Age Pan.
This little British guy would come out and be like, now listen, this is something we've been working on. You've got all these, so we can have one pan for everything. And he did a goof on it on Mr. Show.
And this okay,
guy, it was called like Amazing Discoveries or something like that. And it was like this guy who comes out and he's like, hey, we've got this, you know, and he comes out, he's this little like British Australian guy with a bow tie and a, you know, he's like, now we've got all these pans here, but how would you like to have a pan that could simmer, bake, wipe your ass? Do, you know, it was like, I couldn't, you know, I was like, this doesn't seem right, you know. This is like, you know, my mother
was before they had chia pets and everything.
Oh, no, this was after Chia Pet.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Yeah. This was on Saturday mornings after cartoons were off, because I would watch cartoons. I'd put on Mystery Science Theater, and then they would have, like this commercial. I'd tune into it, and I'd be like, oh, my God, this is so bad. This is so effing bad.
Did you see this before or after the Mr. Show parody?
Before the Mr. Show parody. Because if you got it, you knew what he was talking about, you know. Oh. He was this little Australian guy, and he was like, now listen, we've got all these pans here. We don't need them anymore. Here's a pan. You can do everything. You can bake. You can fry. You can brisk. You can do this. It's a miracle pan. In fact, if you touch it, you'll be able to walk on water. You know, it was like, I just would be like, and this guy was like this annoying, he would like jump around and like, you know, now come over here and see what we've done. This is an ordinary pan here. Making an omelet, right? This omelet doesn't look good, but look, with this miracle pan, you can make an omelet look like a restaurant omelet.
Oh my God.
We'll just make a fucking omelet in a pan, you schmuck. Don't burn the eggs, you know.
Ugh.
Oh,
you're egging them on, man. You're egging them on.
You know, well, they used to have they used to do a lot of that stuff, like, you know, the dump pan. I don't want to hear the words dump and pan in the same sentence.
Especially when you've already got the, give me the bin.
Miracle pan, yeah.
Or but, the dump, up to the dump, dump, dump.
Yeah. I mean, I swear, like in the 90s, it was like infomercials, like Susan Powder, Stop the Insanity. What was the one? Who was that one guy? Not Billy Banks, not the Tybo guy. The guy with the blonde hair. He had that bicycle thing.
Oh God, blonde guy, bicycle thing,
ponytail,
blonde ponytail.
I'm trying to think his name. Guy. I saw him a couple times.
Bike ad.
Well, Billy Banks was the guy who basically.
Tony Little.
Yes, Tony Little. I remember Tony Little, and he had that exercise thing. He says, I used to weigh over 300 pounds. And then I realized I had to tone, you know. Well, just go outside and walk, you schmuck, you know. It was like people. Now I look at Peloton with their ads, and I'm like thinking, somewhere Tony Little is going, that's right, reel it in.
Reel it in, baby.
Reel it in, come on, you know. But, yeah, I mean, well, first you had Richard Simmons.
Oh God! Yes, and then he made fun of himself on Who's Line.
But Richard Simmons was like, Sam Kinison used to just rip him a new one.
Yeah, can't help himself.
Because Richard Simmons, you would say Richard Simmons isn't crying; he's laughing at these people. So, like, when he started to eat a whole bucket of chicken, you know. But I remember Deal a Meal being very big, Sweating to the Oldies being very big, you know, and it was always an address somewhere in New Jersey. Like there was this warehouse, and you sent the check in, and you got like Deal Emile, you got Sweatin' to the Oldies, you got all this stuff. And it was like, okay. But it was always the same address in New Jersey, either in Englewood or Ridge, you know, some warehouse somewhere, you know. So
something else. He's still going, but yeah, I don't see him really do those late night info ads too much.
No, he's not really as active as he used to be, from what I understand. He's not.
Was it his company to begin with, or did he just start investing in it and basically make it his brand?
He started it.
Okay.
He started Deal Emile, and he had a guy in there named Michael Habronko, who weighed like 500 pounds, and he lost all this weight through Deal Emile. He was one of those success stories, you know. He weighed like 175 pounds. And then later you find out he gained like double the weight back.
Oof.
And they had to break down his house to get him out of the house. Like they had to take cut down the side of, yeah, to get him out. You know, so that was kind of like the big drawback that Richard Simmons had. But I remember like a lot of like that stuff, like, you know, it was KTEL presents, you know, golden hits of the 50s. You know, it's 1975, but everybody's, you know, starting to get back to the nostalgia era. You know, it's like, yeah, there was, you know, buy the original artists, the original hits, you know, 100 solid gold hits on these records. And they'll be like, for $19.99, $9.99. It's like two records, two cassettes, or two 8-track tapes, you know. And then if you order now, you get this bonus of rare B-sides, you know. Oh my God. You look at KTEL was like, but they only had one person advertise it. One famous person. Mickey Dolenz. Of the Monkees, yeah.
That dude, of all people, you're going to get.
Well, he was, you know, he was a recognizable face still at that time, you know. But then, like, Time Life came along.
Mm-hmm. They stole all the thunder.
They stole all that stuff. And I remember one time when they did the 60s, it was Davy Jones. And then they had Peter Fonda on.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I need to YouTube this.
Peter Fonda, and then they did Golden Hits of the 70s. So that was Lauren Tweez and then Rex Smith. And I'm like, where did they dig these people out of? You know. Where did they dig these people out of?
Where did they find these people?
Rex Smith, I don't remember him. What was he famous for? Who was Rex Smith?
Rex?
Who? Rex Smith.
Yeah.
He was a dancer. He was a singer. He was a dancer. He was a singer. He was an all around entertainer.
He was top of the line. I'm telling you.
You know, but then they would have like, they'd have like people you never like. You know, it would be like, remember these songs from the 70s?
The third stage of their career, and this is where they ended up.
You're just thinking to yourself, if they're going to go, don't, you know, well, the 70s stuff sold like hotcakes. This was the 90s. And remember the whole 70s boom came back, you know, like Dazed and Confused and all that stuff.
Fashion, so like, and everything.
The fashion came back, everything came back. And it was like, okay, you know, shove out the 70s stuff. Shove out the 70s stuff. Who can we get? Well, we can get somebody from the Love Boat. Oh, really? Who? Lauren, you know, we'll get Lauren Tweez, Julie. Okay, we'll get Julie. She's still coked up? No, she's not. Okay, we'll get her on there. And then they got Rex Smith. And then they got, like, I keep forgetting, they got Lauren Tweez, Rex Smith, and somebody else.
Jeez.
And it was like, oh my God. It was like, they dug, they, like, I'm like, were you under a rock or something? You know? but the thing that blows my mind is, like, they show these 70s, like, you know, you would get the 70s hits. You'd be like, now you can get the first one for free, but for the next, you know, for five easy payments of $5.99, you get
an installment plan.
Yeah, installment plan. I'm like, oh shit, here we go. Rake it in, rake it in, you know.
But yeah. And no one's going to buy it unless they are your completest fan. Like, I just got to get this, even though this is a sack of shit that my icon is selling me.
I've got to get Me, You, and a Dog Named Boo, and then I got to get, you know, Starbuck, Moonlight, and I got to get, you know, King Harvest, you know, and I got to get all, I'm like, oh, Jesus. My friend used to do that. He would buy, like, Time Life Super Hits of the 70s, and I'd be like, how many of these do you have?
And how many of these do you actually want?
Wait, you already have this record. Yeah, but the way they sequenced it is amazing. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I'm like, but Bread? You don't even like the band Bread, you know?
Oh, my God.
So.
He thought they would be collector's items someday, which I'm sure they are.
Yeah, but I don't know anybody who likes the band Bread, except if they were, like, coked up and were drinking wine spritzers through the 70s.
They listened to it just because they were there versus they actually liked it.
If a picture paints a thousand words, shut up.
You whiny bitch.
Like they did, like they would do, like, Davy Jones was Hits of the British Invasion. I remember that. Peter Fonda was Sounds of the 60s. And it's like, it's Peter Fonda. It's Jane's brother. It's Henry's son. Great actor. You know, don't get me wrong. He probably got a paycheck and said, here, do this. And he was like, okay, fine. You
well,
know.
I go to my, you know, weed house that's in the middle of the forest where I don't have to pay property tax.
No, I don't think he had a weed house. I think he was living in a nice house. I know he smoked weed. I don't know if he, you know, I don't know if he really did or not, but you know, at least they didn't get like Dennis Hopper, you know. True. I can never see Dennis Hopper hawking anything.
Dennis now, you Hopper go to, wouldn't be able to keep a straight face on his
no
commercial.
Well, no, Dennis Hopper did do commercials for Nike. For Nike, he played a referee, like a demented, like he was his character in Apocalypse Now as a referee.
Mixed in with Hoosiers or something.
No. It was like his Apocalypse Now character.
Oh, really?
You know, he's like, you wouldn't believe what Barry Sanders did. And, you know, one time Barry had these two guys, he went, whoosh that way. I couldn't believe it. And he had these Nike, you know, he advertised the shoe. And I was like, I'm like, okay, Dennis, I love you. You're a great guy. You're a great actor, you know, but
what is,
oh, what is this? You know, oh man, you know, but when you're talking about people, you know, we were talking about icons and stuff like that, you know, advertising icons and stuff like that. We have to go back to the 50s.
Have to.
Because you had Speedy the Alka-Seltzer Kid, right? Right? It was a commercial, right? And if you were looking up, they're still around.
And Pepto-Bismol, you know.
Pepto-Bismol.
Any ad that reminds you. Yeah.
Cigarettes were tap dance, you know, girls in these big cigarette cartons, you know, tap dancing on a stage somewhere, you know. Have a Chesterfield. Have a Lucky. Cigarette ads, they were like big too, you know. I remember them being around, you know. But when famous people started hawking stuff, the one that comes to mind is, and this is, look up a guy named Stan Freberg. Stan Freberg was a comedian. He was also a comedy writer and was also a director. He's one of the greatest comedic minds of all time, okay? He did a thing for Gino's Pizza Rolls.
Oh, God.
Where it was, everything was, you know, pizza roll, pizza roll. And it's like people just flashing. And this guy comes out, it's Terrington Cigarettes. And I was like, say, I'd like to have a word with you about this. And all of a sudden there's a tap on the shoulder and the camera pans over and there's the Lone Ranger, Clayton Moore, with Jay Silverheels as Tonto. He says, well, that's funny. I'd like to have a talk with you. He says, pizza roll, kimosabi? Like he puts his hand up like, no. And he says, who was that masked man? You know, and it's like, you know, Ohio Silver.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the U.S. We are in the U.K. We are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
They did that on The Tonight Show, and it got a standing ovation.
I bet it did.
because you got to realize, back then, commercials, when people, famous people were hawking stuff, it was never a sense of humor about it. You know, why do I use this? Because my family does. You know, it's like Ronald Reagan would do Borax.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he got money for it, you know.
People like my voice, so I'm gonna just say it how it is.
Charlton Heston for Contel, you know. I'm Charlton Heston for Contel. Boris Karloff doing Lee and Parents A1 or Lee and Parents steak sauce. I think it was A1. You can add A1 to anything you want. Soups, salads, steak. You know, it's like he's supposed to be like this evil guy. He's like, no, no, Igor, no. The steak is too rare. Put it back in the broiler. I'll put some A1 on it, you know.
Sounded almost That's, like Mr. Smith.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be my bad imitation of Boris Karloff. no, don't do that. Don't put that in there, you know. What was it? We're on the right track here, right? With all this stuff, I'm trying to think, this is fine.
Top of my head. I'm just thinking of the funniest guys who they had in a commercial for the longest time.
Buddy Hackett doing Seal Test. Buddy Hackett doing Seal Test. I remember that. Seal Test ice cream.
What did they play it on?
It was on TV. He was like, I really love Seal Test. It's the best, you know. And he's like eating like a Eskimo pie or something like that, you know. And the Seal Test factory was right by where I lived. So, you know, I always thought Buddy Hackett lived over here, you know. Trying to think, who else have I seen that's famous? Like back in the 80s.
I think you said there was a Sean Connery. I mean, there is this is more 70s, but Sean Connery did do a bunch of Japanese ads where he's advertising cereal or something weird. But yeah, Shatner, I'm sure, did a bunch of them.
Oh, Shatner was...
years before, the Priceline insurance man.
He did a thing for a supermarket in Canada right after right between Star Trek being canceled and Star Trek the Motion Picture. And it's like, okay, Bill, you're getting money. You have, you know, he had to pay alimony, but he was doing promise margarine commercials. Yeah, there's a, oh God, it's hilarious when you watch it. I remember all these old people, these old stars coming out doing like their, you know, hawking their bits, like Martha Ray for some denture cream or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Like, here's Martha Ray, the big mouth, talking about, you know, Polident. Polident. June Allison for Depends, you know. Oh, God. My mother would be like, great, I got this. Every time I look at a June Allison picture, I'm going to have to piss my pants, you know. You know, they would basically get people out of, you know, out of the mothballs to do stuff like that. Like, but in Japan, it's anybody and everybody. They get, like, they get, they
Arnold
had
Schwarzenegger,
Stallone,
the Arnold ads. Oh, I wouldn't be surprised, but the Arnold ones were great because they kept, it was during the time he was governor and Conan O'Brien's people kept coming across him and just kept sharing them on his show.
Yeah.
He'd be like, that's it for today. And then he looks around. Okay, we'll do one more.
I keep thinking Ringo Starr did. Ringo Starr.
Hot in Japan, man.
Well, no, I'm talking here in the United States. All Ringo right. did. Ringo did a wine cooler commercial.
Oh my God.
This was the time when he was just about to go into rehab. And I don't know if it was some wine cooler company. And he went in, he did the ad, and then like I think they supposedly like 2 weeks later he was in Betty Ford drying out, you know.
Wow.
Then he did a Pizza Hut ad with the monkeys. He did a PLP. It was cute. He's like, well, I talked to the other lads and they want to get together, but we don't know what to decide. Crust in or crust out. And Davey, Peter, and Mickey come in and they're like eating the pizza with them. That's a cute commercial. But yeah, but Ringo Starr did like a commercial for like these leisure suits in Japan. God. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you've got to look this. You got to look this stuff up, man. It's like, you know, but I've found a lot of commercials where it's like, you know, you get people that were on TV at that time, like Lauren Green doing Alpo. Not Alpo. What was it? Was it Alpo? Like him and Ed McMahon doing like dog food commercials, oh, and there's Lauren Green, you know, Ben Cartwright going, my dog likes what I give it. That's why I give it, you know, dog food. And, you know, it's got meat byproducts. I don't know what meat byproducts are, nor do I care, you know.
I'm not getting it anyway.
He's got this big Shetland sweater on, and it's like, you know, his backyard, and he's got a deck and everything, and the dog comes up, and he's like, that's why I give him Alpo. It was Alpo. And, you know, Ed McMahon used to do that, too. He used to hawk a lot of like stuff. He would hawk stuff on the Tonight Show too.
Oh God.
And there's a video of him and Carson. And I think they must've been a little bit under the influence where they're talking to people at Johnson & Johnson. And they say something for this feminine deodorant spray or something like that. Carson just starts saying this stuff and I'm literally happy. I'm like literally just like trying hard not to laugh, you know, because it's like the stuff Carson says, you're like, whoa, you know.
Whoa.
Yeah. I got one for you. Jimmy Stewart doing soup.
Oh God.
95, 96. He's like, you want some soup? No, Grandpa, I'm fine. Well, you know, soup's good for you. It's good food. It's warms you up.
Around the same time, what's his name? Robert Loggia's doing the Minute Maid.
Oh, God. Well, no. Loggia did it afterwards.
Okay, so, yeah, that was 99. So, yeah, this was 96. So, yeah.
Robert Loggia for Minute Maid. I can always imagine that.
Oh.
Loggia.
and I'm going to put my foot up your ass if you don't drink what this orange juice. Cut. Mr. Loggia, drink the Minute Maid orange juice. It's good for you. Okay, good. All right. Roll and speed. I'm Robert Loggia. You ever been kicked in the balls by a mule? Drink this orange juice. Cut.
Whoa.
You know who was a big time hawker?
Oh, God.
Orson Welles.
You told me you were going to tell me about this ad he did.
There's an ad he did. It's the action. I've heard the audio time and time again. It's kind of, I think, maybe the late 70s, early 80s. He's in a recording studio for some English frozen dinner. And he's doing the dramatic read over. He says, we know a place in England where how do you emphasize the word in before in July? It's an Italian argument with the tape, but it's like the most innate thing. He's like, we know a place where in the American prairie where every year Charlie Briggs brings the most cap. This is tripe, fellas. I can't believe this. We know a place where John Schwendeschwart, it's like just the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. But it's like, it's him doing this commercial. And you could tell it's like, they're trying, here's a guy who directed and wrote one of the greatest movies of all time. And he's doing frozen food commercials.
Yeah.
Not
worthy of his talent. And yet here he is.
Oh, yeah, they give him a bunch of money. And he's like, okay, I'll make the next movie I want to make,
Finally, I'll get what I want.
He was doing those Paul Besson commercials. And there's that one video of him being drunk where he goes, we know a place for the California champagne. Orson, we need you to just... he just makes these noises. Oh, it's so bad.
The fact that they kept it in, just oblivious.
It wasn't even oblivious. It was just like the outtake.
Obvious.
And then he does it perfectly. So, okay, well, so we need one more. You need one more? Yes. Okay. Like he must have been drinking. But there was a game called The Dark Tower. That he was just like, I like to play this with my grandchildren. This game by Milton Bradley called The Dark Tower. It's amazing. And then then Vincent Price was doing Hangman.
Oh God.
But it's funny to watch. Because you never knew Vincent Price had a comedic side to him,
He's a funny guy.
But he's one of the best. Hey, I can't say anything about Vincent Price. He's done some, when he got older, he started to do more funny stuff, But the Hangman commercial was great. I used to be afraid of Vincent Price.
He had that aura to him where he's like, what's he going to do?
He looked evil. But then later I was watching all these movies that he did and I was laughing, The Abominable Dr. Fibes. I love that movie.
Yes.
Or Theater of Blood. But when he did the commercial for Hangman, I was like, oh, this is really funny. He goes, hey, we're closed. We're all out of money. Just that kind of stuff, next bank across the street. He's just being really snooty to all the customers. But, I remember, Smith Barney with John Houseman.
Oh, God.
Smith Barney, we know what we do with your money. We take it, and then we earn more of it. And then he died, and they had Leo McKern come in to do it.
Jeez.
And Leo McKern was like, Smith Barney, I'm pissed off about this. Leo McKern was one of those guys. He was like, he always looked pissed off,
He just couldn't help it. He just had that aura.
He had that aura about him. And then there was...
You mentioned Barney. What about Barney Fife himself? I think Don Knotts was in a few wacky ads where you're like, wait, what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was always Don. I think Don Knotts did a commercial. I'm trying to think what it was.
I could have sworn I saw it replayed one time as like an anniversary of the product.
Yeah. They would get people to like Tony, what was it? Don Adams doing Skittle Pool.
Oh, God.
It was Don Adams, Leon Askin, and I forget who else was in it. Leon Askin played Colonel Buckhalter on Hogan's Heroes. So he's like a spy in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Malt liquor ad. I keep forgetting. It was a malt liquor ad. And Leon Askin's in it. I'm like, Colonel Buckhalter, Maxwell Smart, and I'm trying to see who the hell else is in it. And you're like, you're literally just like howling hysterically because you're like, yeah, they must have, you know, hey, it's a paycheck, you know.
Irrefusable. These corporations, they got enough for the rest of their assembly line.
Well, hey, I remember Billy D. Williams doing Colt 45.
Mm-hmm. Many who claim they know him from those alone. And I think he badmouthed them years later. It was like, oh, but Billy, who else would have done it justice?
Well, he badmouthed it because it was supposedly, you know, on the African community. He was basically, he said it was perpetuating alcoholism, you know, which I can, you know, it was like, you know, works every time. It's like, yeah, Billy, go back to playing Lando, you know. We were happy you were in the last Star Wars movie, you know. But yeah, a lot of those, you know, like, the one guy we all know was Cosby.
Oh God. Yeah,
doing jello pops and doing coke. I put a pudding pop with a roof. Oh, I'm not gonna say it.
Yep.
You like the Coca-Cola? Coca-Cola is good. And you go, put a roof in.
That's what I use to rape my bitches. Yeah.
I got a jello pudding pop and jello's good. And I put roofies in the jello pudding, and that's what I need. And then Camille goes, "Why'd you put roofies in the jello pudding?" You know.
Wow, that's a good impression. That's scary.
Coke made new Coke, but now they got Coke Classic. So now there's two Cokes. Which one did I put the roofie in? I don't know.
I don't know what I've been told, but jello does it every time.
And then Billy Crystal doing Pepsi.
Oh, who?
Billy Crystal advertised
for Pepsi. Billy Crystal. Oh, wow. If I saw it, it was like a best, funniest commercials special, probably.
Him doing Pepsi, and this was the height of Fernando when he was doing Fernando's Hideaway, and you know, you look marvelous. Pepsi changed their look. And. Oh, you don't look marvelous, you know. Hey, something wrong?
Okay.
These commercials are creeping them out.
Yeah. But then there was, there's all these commercials, like all these stars were doing commercials. And you have to realize, and as I said, like, you know, there was like commercials where there's a commercial for a car from the late 1960s, and it's, the chain gang is Roger Crawford as the overseer, Leo Gorcey, Lon Chaney Jr., and I'm trying to think who the hell else is on it. And they just see the car and they think it's going to be a getaway car. And Crawford goes, "You can keep looking, but you ain't going to escape." And it was just like one of those things you have to watch. but yeah, you could tell it's like Leo Gorcey's last because he didn't look too good, you know.
Could have been worse. Could have been the next Jared of Subway.
There's a guy.
That's bad.
That was just.
You know what's? You know you're gonna hate me for this. I used to actually. I just couldn't help it. He just had a similar kind of face. I used to get him mixed up with Par Marcarelli, the T-Mobile guy who later moved to Sprint before they merged. It's just funny how they played it up. You traitor.
Yeah, T-Mobile now. Oh shit! We're gonna get merged. Fuck.
Well, can't make fun of that anymore. And nowadays, it's the Milena Weintraub gal, the Russian Jewish gal, comedian.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing I love is Jared from Subway. That was one of those things where Subway really didn't have a face to it.
No. It was word of mouth kind of at that point. And
yeah. And he came along and he was like, yeah, I lost like it was like 400 pounds or something like that. And, you know, and I, you know, I've got a girlfriend now, and it was all from eating Subway, their sandwiches. And I would pick out the health. And then meanwhile, a year later, he was arrested for having child porn. And you're like, ugh.
Gross, I ate a pedophile endorsed food.
I look safe because I'm not a pedophile like that other a-hole, you know.
The I'll other you, man we won't mention. Your name's I'll not give, Jared, is it? Good.
No, no. Okay, no, no, no.
Ask your parents, kids.
Kids, before you go on a Subway, remember, always have your ID on you so that way you know who's serving you. When TV series went off the air.
Say no such thing.
No, when TV series went off the air, they would get, okay, I'll give you a case in point. Eagle Snacks, right?
Yes.
You remember them, Eagle Snacks, right?
I think so.
They were Anheuser-Busch's way of trying to get into the snack food market. They had Tony Randall and a post cancerous post-cancer op Jack Klugman doing Eagle Snacks potato chips, Eagle Snacks peanuts, and they were great commercials because all Klugman did was just sit there and eyeball, like, you know, see what he does with this peanut, you know, he likes it, doesn't he? You would smile, he's like, Eagle Snacks, that's what, you know. So it was like, you know, Oscar and Felix reunited, right?
Right.
And then IBM reunited the cast from MASH.
I definitely saw that one. And IBM was just, they always had it down. They're not as big now. And I can't remember the last time I've seen as many ads of theirs. But yeah, they used to always, their ads would be what you talked about every year. Just something so visually stunning or funny about them.
They got the original cast of MASH back together. And the funny thing is you have David Ogden Stiers and Larry Linville in one commercial together because they were like, these people are recognizable. So then you got Jamie Farr, you got Harry Morgan, you got Alan Alda did one, you got Mike Farrell, I think, did one, Wayne Rogers did them. You know, it was just fun to watch these ads, you know. But one time they did, when I don't know what computer company it was, back in the 80s, they had Tony Randall team up with George the Animal Steel. And then another computer company had King Kong Bundy do the ad. He's like, yeah, with these computers, I could really take, you know, I could really know my matches, you know. So that's what happened. You know, it was just this big thing where people, you know, if it was a name brand or something like that, they would always put somebody to it. And like the MASH IBM ads, I remember. And then I remember also, I just trail off a thought, but the MASH IBM ads I remember from the 80s, and they were great. They were great to watch because it was just, you know, it's just the guys from MASH, but they were in an office, you know. But there's a guy who passed away a couple years ago, Chuck McCann. Chuck McCann. Him and this guy, Jim, I forgot his name, Jim McSomething or rather, right? They dressed up as Laurel and Hardy.
Jeez.
And they did wiper blade commercials. And I will tell you right now, I thought Laurel and Hardy were alive when they did them. Because the guy who was playing Oliver Hardy did, Chuck McCann did Oliver Hardy perfectly. You know we'd need new wiper blades, Stanley. Why didn't you get them? And the guy playing, you know, would go, we'll get the wiper blades before we get off the wrong road, you know. So they put the wiper blades, and then all of a sudden you see them, they're on a runway, and a plane's coming towards them, you know. It was like they would do the old, you know, the old Hal Roach stuff. So that was that. Oh, yeah, these are ads from my childhood growing up, you know. But
and Chuck is just awesome, but yeah.
Oh, Chuck McCann was just hilarious, you know.
People forget he's a puppeteer because we're just so used to hearing his voice.
Well, he did cartoons. He did puppeteers. He had a show on Channel 11 on WPIX here. And he, you know, he had like that moony face we use, but there was stuff he did on his show that was like, you'd be watching it and you'd literally just try hard not to wet yourself. That's how happy, funny he was. It was like Soupy Sales. Soupy Sales was, you know, kiddie humor, but adult humor too, mm-hmm. you know? But yeah, we used to have those. That's what I miss. I miss that whole innocent era. You know, now it's like, you know, commercials I see now, it's like.
Some of them are funny and others is like we're already sick of just the minute they air. I mean.
Well, case in point about something getting so sick of the first time Sonic came around.
Oh, God.
And they had those two guys in the car.
And then the other gal saying, oh, try out Sonic, try out Taco Cabana. It's just like.
No, it was the two guys in the car.
Oh, yeah.
The first time those commercials came on, I was like, oh, okay, you know, it's kind of funny. Then about a year and a half later, I'm like, I'm going to shoot these fuckers.
Right. Because, like, can you hear me now with the Sprint? It was funny because we could all relate to it. While the Sonic is just like,
yeah,
just give us a reason to come out and eat your food and be funny about it. Like,
yeah, it's like the guy would sit there and it was like, I always had the opinion like the one guy in the passenger seat was a mental patient, and the guy who was driving him was like his caretaker for the day.
I guffaw when I see him in other TV movies or guest spots, but yes, I agree. The whole essence of the ad, like. By the 20th time, you're like, what won't you argue about? Just get your fucking food.
Get your food and fucking eat it, you jerk off, you know. I got a great idea. Putting tots on a burger. Burger tots. That'll work. Yeah, that'll work. Yeah, you know. You're like, oh, God, please shoot me now.
Mm-hmm.
Please, please, you know.
Can you believe Flo is still going? The progressive gal, Stephanie Courtney.
Oh, God, yeah. I thought she was pregnant.
Yeah, I think so, and I think they worked that into some versions, but nowadays they'll have her play multiple people in one skit, and I've seen her guest star in a bunch of different comedic shows, and I'm like, wow, that's Flo!
That's Flo. Yeah, and you know what gets me is that she's, you know, she's talented, and I think this is her bread and butter, to be honest with you.
She can't find time to, in between her busy schedule doing these ads, I guess, or she doesn't have to work. So, you know, it is what it is.
I know for a while they had her and then they had some other people working with her.
Yeah.
I think they were just trying to, like, you know, get other people into
other character actors who sometimes play jerks or comedic performers. Like, yeah. Where is your husband, Flo?
Yeah. It's like that, but I know she was pregnant. I know she was pregnant because I think we saw it.
Yeah, we saw a baby bump.
We saw a baby bump, and we were like, okay, she's pregnant. And I know she's pregnant because I can tell because they were filming her from certain angles and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that cracked me up. That kind of cracked me up, you know.
Yeah.
And then, like, and then she came back because the other guy, the thin guy, was doing the ads too.
I think so, and they got tired of him.
Yeah, the black was doing the Honey Nut Cheerios ad.
How do I spell his name again? It's how do I spell his name?
I don't know. I forgot.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
But he was doing the Honey Nut Cheerios ad, and I was laughing because he's like, what's so good about it? You know, like, he's just like, he's like, you know, he's just down. And then he's honey no cheers. He's like, you know, he's like, jump, you know, he's like, wow, this is great. You know, it's going to be a great day to, you know. Amazing. You remember, here's one for you. You remember the guy who used to come in with the Miller Lite guy?
The Miller Lite guy. And obviously Jonathan Goldsmith is the most interesting man in the world.
Oh God. I love the most interesting man in the world commercials.
Yep.
And they should not have gotten rid of him.
No. And
that, and from what I understand, that almost, like, that killed their company.
I think so. And I got him Was he the same guy who was in the "You're gonna love the way you look"?
No,
fashion no. I always thought it was the same guy. They're just so similar. No. But yeah, he's at the third stage of his career, while, you know, Dennis Haysbert is the Allstate guy, and Dean Winters is the Mayhem commercials. Those guys were like at the third stage of their careers when
The thing that cracks me up is Dennis Haysbert. I know from
Major League.
Major League. And I know him from Buck Rogers because he was on the second season.
Yeah, he's in so many episodes as the technician who turns on the damn.
You know, turn it on. Okay. You know, you hear that voice, you're like, what the hell? You know.
Allstate's plan.
But the thing I love is J.K. Simmons.
Yes, we are farmers.
Farmers still doing the farmer's insurance. Even after an Oscar win, he's still doing the farmer's insurance.
And the peanut M&M commercials.
Yeah, that cracks me up.
I never knew it all that time. I thought it was familiar, and I was like, holy fuck, that's wow.
Well, Billy West was doing that for a while, too.
That makes better sense. Bugs Bunny.
Well, Billy West was like a guy you heard on a lot of commercials.
Futurama and everything else, and it took a while to fill in the dots.
You know, he was doing the Honey Nut Cheerios bee
for a long time. I wondered why that sounded familiar, so there you go. And
you know, there were certain art voiceover guys in commercials, artists in commercials that you heard where you were like, oh, you know. Oh wait, they do cartoons too, you know.
The early stages of the internet helped me figure out that the Mucinex B was Antonio Banderas.
Yeah. Well, here's one for you. If you watch Super Friends when you were a kid.
Then the Super Friends will rise again.
Okay. The voice of Superman was Danny Dark. Danny Dark was the guy who did the "Sorry, Charlie" on the old Starkist.
Yes, commercial. Those are great ads.
And he also did the Keebler commercials.
Oh, man.
We put a lot on our Toll House cookies. And I heard that and I went, wait a minute. Now I'm about 10 years old. I'm like, I'm putting two and two. Like, my head's going, that's the guy who does the voice of Superman. And he also was the unofficial voice of NBC.
Oh, damn.
Because it was him and Casey Kasem. The unofficial voice of NBC, and it was Ernie Anderson, who was the voice of ABC.
Yes,
I don't know who the voice of CBS was. I'm trying to figure that out myself.
I think I could be wrong, but I think Mark Elliott did a bunch of CBS spots.
He would be like, you know, Mark Elliott. It would be like, it's a wacky thing to get. Then on Dallas, you know. He would do that, you know.
Jim Cummings, you know, from Tigger and Winnie the Pooh, you know, would do a bunch of those home video ads. And it would take you a minute if you're like, this is an R-rated movie. I'm so used to seeing him and Elliot being the coming soon to Disney.
Yeah, you'd be like, coming soon to Disney, you know.
Oh, man. Good. Oh. Great, great badass guys.
I still think the best thing I ever heard was my mother telling me that Mel Blanc, not my mother, somebody telling me that Mel Blanc did a lot of commercials and he did the voice of the Frito Bandito.
Wow. Was he in Speedy Gonzales mode?
It was kind of like, well, Speedy Gonzales, you know, they'd speed up the tape a little bit.
Yeah.
But he would do the Frito Bandito in the voice he'd do the Mexican guy on the Jack Benny show. You know, are you going to see, you know, what's your sister's name? Sai. What's your sister? Sue. And your name? Sai, you know. So he was doing this thing where he'd, my name is the Frito Bandito. You know, you can't do that anymore.
Was this post Buck Rogers or pre?
No, this is pre Buck Rogers.
Even better.
You know,
and his voice was at its highest.
Well, he just gotten over the car accident, so it was 61. So 64, 65, he was doing the Frito Bandito.
And did they ever replay these ads like they did the, because I know the Starkist, Sorry Charlie tuna ads would definitely come replay on TV Land, and that was fine. It's not like they had changed their brand, really. It's just the tuna.
They had somebody else do those ads after Danny Dark died, but
never the same.
It was never the same. It was never the same after a lot of guys passed away, because you hear the voice.
Charlie Sheenan one. Sorry, Charlie.
Yeah, sorry, Charlie. No tiger's blood for you.
no fish blood either.
but you know what's weird? When you get older, you start to recognize a lot of people. Like Robert Wagner was doing the Colonial Penn ads. Yeah. Then it was Alex Trebek, and he kicked off. And now it's Jimmy Walker.
Jimmy Walker has been playing way too much, and sometimes they intersected with the Trebek ones, and I guess they had to pull them out of respect to his passing recently.
But then there was Martin Sheen doing the medicine commercial where you can get it cheaper.
I've seen those. I've even seen
Martin Short doing it.
Yes, Martin Short does it, and he even does JCPenney's ads, and even freaking Shatner's back doing the damn hospice. If you want to be able to breathe, and I'm sorry, it's just one of those, as you're seeing like
the CPAP thing, right?
Yeah, it's often on during the daytime, and it's one of those you should be, you know, sympathetic, but it's like, I'm sorry, I'm unintentionally laughing at these goddamn ads.
Yeah, you're like, oh god, please just stop.
When my father worked at this one college, he encountered these guys in a room meeting. They were talking about making a local ad that would play on loop at their college and occasionally on TV. And then we picked a random set of names, and Shatner was one of them. And my father had to stop himself from laughing during the plays, because they clearly were oblivious to who Shatner was. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, you're talking about a man who's become a self-parody of himself, and now he's found a different kind of cult fandom, you know?
Well, here's the one thing you're going to love. There's a commercial of William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy doing something for Southwest Airlines.
Yes. Oh, man.
I remember it very clearly. It's like, you know, Leonard, it's good we're going on vacation. Yeah, I'm about happy for that too, Bill. You know, and they're like, and it's like, it was like, and I remember Shatner doing a car commercial. Or was it Leonard Nimoy? Leonard Nimoy was doing computer commercials.
He loved doing the damn computer commercials.
And
was that the one? What, I think he advertised computers in one, and Jonathan Franks from Next Gen and DeForest Kelly were also in one with him, and they're all over the phone prank calling each other laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like often come on the Paramount stations, because just good, that's where they're airing all, you know, original series and Next Gen.
The thing I loved was when they did Scotty did one.
Yeah, I think he was definitely in one of them with them.
Yeah.
And one of them he did overseas for his hometown in Canada.
Yeah. And I remember, what was it? They did Star Trek. Then I just remember a lot of that stuff was being like, they were just getting people to hawk. It was like, it was fun to watch, you know.
It really was.
It was fun. You know, a lot of those commercials, a lot of innocence, a lot of fun.
You looked forward to the ad break as much as you did.
Yeah.
Whatever program you're watching.
Like, remember the Encyclopedia Kid?
I think so. That's
Stan Freberg's son.
No,
Stan Freberg did those commercials.
Jeez.
He wanted to get a bunch of encyclopedias, you know, and it's like, wait a minute, that's Stan Freberg. Wait, that's his kid?
Didn't they later animate some of them?
Yeah, they did. They did.
And it just didn't have the same impact, because it was just like,
no, it didn't.
It just rendered it mute, because the passion and excitement, and like to say, knowing who he was related to, it was kind of fun. And I don't know why they even bother animating these half the time, because that really actually costs way more money.
Well, they go cheap. They go overseas, they get them cheap, and they're like, okay, let's do this.
They hire like a Korean or Chinese studio to animate it.
And it doesn't seem the same, you know, because it's like it's like, what was it? Like, they would get actors, like, okay, we don't need this actor anymore. We'll just, you know, get somebody else to do it. And
kind of like with the Gecko, just never the same. After they threw out Kelsey Grammer, and then they placed him with this Aussie guy, and I would cringe half the time, because sometimes...
Who was the Aussie guy in Gecko?
I don't know, but he's still doing them, and I'm just like...
Is he the lizard?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kelsey Grammer was the voice of the lizard, right?
Yeah, it was like when it first started happening around 2000, 2001, and then they kicked him and they got someone cheaper, the Aussie guy. And sometimes those ads were legit funny, just like most Geico ads, but there were plenty of others where it was just very irritating and you just want to return to your program. Well,
the one that I always used to love was the caveman ad.
Oh, they were golden. And when they got their own sitcom, you want to talk one hit, you know, one season wonders. That was another one. It's like so much comedy gold on tape, and yet it backfired. They didn't realize what was making it so funny.
So easy a caveman can do it. Why are you saying that? You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's funny. One of the guys who played the caveman was Jimmy Olsen in the Superman Returns movie.
Was it? Oh my god.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Man.
But. I mean, there's something like, I remember seeing Adam West do a commercial for for something. I don't know what. And then they had Christopher Reeve doing a commercial for like JVC camcorders, you know. And, you know, of course, you know, the kid he's filming is dressed up as Superman, you know.
Rahardy, har, har, yeah.
You can film your own kid's adventures. Gee, Dad, Denton.
And by Jimmy Olsen, you mean Jack Larson?
No. Jimmy Olsen... The kid, not Jack Larson, the kid who, and not Mark McClure, the kid who was in Superman Returns.
Oh, okay, shit.
Yeah. He was one of the cavemen in the show.
Oh, shit. Man, looking it up now. Yeah, he was played by, I think I know his face. He's been in a lot of things.
Like, he actually did another movie with Brandon
Routh. Sam Huntington.
Yeah, Sam Huntington did another movie with Brandon Routh, too.
Where he's like a vampire hunter or something. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dylan
Dog.
Yeah. That's who it was, yes.
Yeah. But the thing that gets me is, like, you would have, like, Linda Carter, I think, did a commercial. You know, here's one that gets me. It's Penny Marshall and... Rosie O'Donnell doing a commercial for Kmart in the 90s.
I definitely saw it. I barely remember it, but I can assure you my parents definitely set the tape, and it definitely caught one of those, especially on ABC.
Yeah, because they originally wanted Cindy Williams, but she couldn't do it. And they had just done a League of Their Own.
Mm.
And that's the rumor I've heard. Like, they wanted Cindy Williams to do the commercial, and she was like, I can't do it. So Penny Marshall's like, okay, well, why don't we just get me and Rosie to do it? They were good friends, you know, they just done a League of Their Own, so
right.
And that's, you know, that was a fun commercial to watch, you know. But they used to have I remember Bing Crosby. My father told me about Bing Crosby.
Crosby, Sinatra, even
Sinatra did a commercial for something,
and obviously Sammy Davis, you know, would talk about
Sammy Davis. Yeah, Sammy Davis
commercial.
Yeah, he did that. What was it? The
liquor, I think.
This liquor commercial was like, but you know, Sinatra, I remember doing a commercial, I think for a stereo or something like that.
That would make sense. I think he was required to do it as part of his record deal or something,
and then. Bing Crosby doing Florida orange juice. It's like, here I'm back in the my wife's making some pancakes, some bacon, some eggs. Maybe get a little bit of homemade orange juice while I'm here. And please don't talk to me about my kids from my first marriage. Who I used to be mercifully. Remember them, Gary, Signy, and the other little bastards I used to beat upside the head with a big brown belt? Get a bag of Valencia oranges if they come over here and whip them like a bunch of bitches. I got a new family now. Look at them. Look at them all. All nice and kind. That's my new image now. Nice and kind, Bing Crosby, laid back. Not a tyrant at home, like I was described by my son. Oh, yeah. God. Mel Torme doing Mountain Dew ads.
My mother Mountain Dew that. Has had the most bizarre ones, definitely by far. Oh, man. Kiefer Sutherland's done some weird ones. For a while, recently, he was doing, I'm a Queervo. And he'd just always get in like a bar fight or say, I'm a Queervo. But he used to do once in character as Jack Bauer, his 24 character, for Calorie Mate. And it's like he would eat it and just like jump on top of a train while defusing a bomb. And is like, better. Now I've had a bite to eat for it. I'm like, what the hell? Okay.
Well, my favorite was, you're not who you are till you eat a Snickers. And they had Joe Pesci.
William Dafoe was in one.
Robin Williams did one with Bobcat Goldthwait.
It is a good one.
That was a good one. And then they had Betty White and Abe Vigoda.
Abe Vigoda, man. Barney Miller time. Yeah.
Barney, my pipe been bothering me all day.
Man. Brian Cox was in a random liquor ad.
The one I've always loved is, who was it that the Miller Lite ads back in the 70s. And then they always have Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
Show up. Hey, what's this? You know.
Totally.
Because they have like Larry Zonka, Nick Bonacani, you know, remember Don Meredith for Lipton Tea? Hi, I'm Dandy Don Meredith. Between getting drunk on Monday Night Football, I like to have some Lipton Tea. When you're doing something with Costell, you gotta get ripped.
Speaking of getting ripped, Terry Crews does a good job with the Old Spice ads and the other guy who's in them, but the Bruce Campbell one is where it's at.
He
just says it with such confidence while just having a shit-eating grin, and you're just like, that's Old Spice.
That's Old Spice. Like, he gives that nod to the camera, like, I'm Bruce Campbell, don't fuck with me.
Who was the original voice of Arby's before being Raines took over? It was another deep voice who I definitely remembered at, like, narrating a bunch of radio.
It was the guy from The Green Mile, I think, did it.
Michael Clark Duncan?
I think he might have done that, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I'll look it up, but I remember, who was it? God, I'm trying to think. I think it was Michael Clark Duncan.
That's great.
You promised to turn the lights down, boss, before you give me the roast beef sandwich? Yeah. it was weird because, like, you know, actors were doing voiceovers. But we had so many one-hit wonders. Marlon Brando doing a Pepsi ad. Sly Stallone doing a Lipton iced tea ad.
The Lipton one has definitely found a big resurgence recently for whatever reason.
Who was it? Remember the guy Jocko for the Energizer?
Kinda. And
he's an Australian guy.
And yeah, they replaced it with some other generic American voice now.
The Energizer. You know what I mean? He's stronger than ever. Oi, oi. You know, they put him on a show called The Highwayman. It was like, and Jocko from The Energizer. And you're like, oh, shit. Here we go.
Sam Jones, right? I think.
Yes.
Flash Gordon himself.
Yeah. And you saw it and you went, okay, do you want to take the Sonny Bono ski route for your career? Or do you want to take the Spider Savage one where you actually get shot by Claudine Lage?
Speaking of which, I think the original voice of the 70s Spider-Man cartoon also was in a bunch of ads, and I think even Cher was in an ad, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, Cher was doing Jack LaLanne
Okay.
for a while.
That might be.
Well, that might be, but
it didn't take off.
The 70s, the 60s Spider-Man or the 70s Spider-Man?
I think it's the 70s one. I think he did like a bunch of other like voiceovers or bumpers for TV networks. Yeah,
I'll look that up later. He's like a was. How about Frank Welker, the voice of Scooby-Doo?
The Predator, the
yeah.
Transformers voices, Cobra Commander. Yeah.
Well, when we do, if we ever do Saturday morning cartoons, we have to get into that.
I promise. Hell, if we want to do just one voice actor, let's do Welker.
No, we're going to have to do a multi-part on,
okay.
Because that would be fun to do, you know.
Okay. Let's do it.
But yeah, Welker, Frank Welker. I do remember the guy who's the voice of Optimus Prime doing a couple of
Peter Cullen.
When we were growing, Peter Cullen doing a couple ads. In fact, it's funny though, because you watch it. I was watching something the other day, and it was somebody put on the Hudson Brothers Razzle Dazzle show, and Peter Cullen is on the show. Peter Cullen was on that show.
I bet he had a big variety background, and his son's even a stuntman.
I think he was a comedic actor too, you know.
I think, yeah, he went to the Growlings or Hollywood Improv equivalent, basically.
Yeah, and he was, you know, but he's always going to be the voice of Optimus Prime, you know. He's got, he based it on his brother who came back from Vietnam, you know, but.
I think that's why he was very hardened. He kind of, in a way, wanted to indirectly do a tribute to his brother who had gone the GI route.
His brother and John Wayne. If you hear it, there's a little bit of John Wayne in there.
Kind of. And I think that's just it. He grew up watching John Ford movies on TV and just grew used to the whole, this is how I do a cowboy. This is how I do a patriotic voice versus a solemn or mysterious or freaky voice.
And the thing that gets me too is that, like, there's a lot of commercials where they had people in there that were doing voiceovers, and you'd be like, wait, aren't they supposed to be doing something? Oh wait, it's probably just in, like, you know, $500 paycheck, and here you go, you know, you'll get rich.
You'll get rich, bitch.
But look up the Orson Welles one, you'll be hysterical laughing.
I will re-look at it. I know I saw it in like junior year of college or something. And I was just like,
I'll post it on my page, edge of the dial, and you will hear it and you will be laughing your head off because it's just some of the things. What did you hear? I said, well, we heard a gonk. What's a gonk? A gonk? It's a noise outside, Orson. I think. What do you mean by that? You know,
keep rolling.
We know a place where,
Citizen Kane, damn it.
I did Citizen Kane and the Ambersons and the Lady from Shanghai and Chimes at Midnight. And
you're telling me. Touch of evil, damn it.
My touch of evil, and you're a schmuck for doing this.
Yeah. The third Transformers voice.
Wait a minute. I'll go one further. Jack Palance doing Old Spice.
Palance.
After
scary.
He won the Oscar. After he won the Oscar, he does the Old Spice.
And you said this is around the same time he did Bronk, the Blaine detective.
No, this is after, way after,
yeah, way after Bronk.
This is when he won the Oscar for Serious.
Okay, shit. Like, you did just say that.
Jeez. And he's like, I like using Old Spice. It's cool on my face. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy sounds like he's a murderer.
Yeah, you know? Why do you want it on your face?
He's a fucking murderer, you know. Gives me a nice bracing tone. Especially when I'm watching somebody cry for their life. When I've got a cattle prod to their testicles.
I should better than you while I put this Old Spice on my face.
I just remember that whole Oscar. Jack Palance has towed the Titanic out of the ocean. Piled the space shuttle down, you know.
Oh,
so.
God.
I think this is where we stop.
I was just about to say. So, where can people find Edge of the Dial on Facebook? It's
Just put Edge of the Dial in. It's there.
It's a great Facebook group. Everyone should check it out if you want some retro trivia and other fun discussions.
Just looking at posters of some of the stuff I've been posting. And I haven't the past 2 days, but there's going to be a lot of stuff on there.
I will post more once my Facebook lockout. The damn bots got to take everything I say out of consequence.
What did they do? What did you say?
I said, shut up to a friend of mine. And they said, you're bullying him. I'm like, I was being sarcastic with a friend, but okay.
How long are you banned for?
I'm at the end of this month, I'll be out of Facebook prison.
You want to smuggle some smokes in for you?
Just keep the bed warm.
I'll make a cake in the shape of a saw. What you doing in there, Sullivan? Nothing, sir. Nothing.
Nothing, sir. Okay. I got a more pretentious escape than the Shawshank Redemption going on here.
All Cameron did was crawl through the wall and up over the fence.
Speaking of which.
No one hit them.
Who's the new voice of Visa since Morgan Freeman got fired?
I don't know. Why did he get fired?
Basically, some asshole at CNN wanted to make her career, and so she deliberately took out a conversation he was having and took a segment where he says he was fine. They were fine, as if he was talking about a female he had bitch slapped or something. He's like, he was talking about working with co-star Michael Caine on a few different projects.
Oh my God. Did he sue CNN?
He should have. I wouldn't be surprised if his estate did. But yeah, the Olympics weren't taking any chances. And so they just fired him as the spokesperson for them and the Visa. And I'm like, God damn it.
Well, the thing I love is Samuel Jackson doing Capital One.
Yes. And sometimes he doesn't even appear anymore. Now it's just his voice. He's that immortalized. Did you see the recent one with John Travolta playing Santa?
No. Oh, yeah.
And they sneak in so many references to Pulp Fiction. He's wearing Burger, and I think
Kahuna Burger shirt.
Mm-hmm. And then Jackson, my man.
The thing I loved was when they had him, they had what's her face from Alias, Jennifer Gardner.
Yeah, she's still doing the damn.
Well, the one I loved was who was it? Jennifer Aniston now doing that whole.
She did like L'Oreal or some bullshit.
Yeah, that whole skincare thing, you know. But yeah, I think I'm going to be posting a lot of commercials coming up after this.
I'll be sure you post the Maggie Q apple diet.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.